everybody. Welcome back to Tell Me About It. So today we have a very special guest. We have Amanda Zuckerman of Dormify, which is very, very exciting. So she's just going to talk to us a little bit about how she got to where she is today and her journey through college and creating Dormify.
All right, so first of all, where are you from? Like, tell us, the early beginnings.
We're going,
start.
We're going all the way to the beginning.
All the way.
Okay. So I grew up outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland and spent my entire childhood there. Something that not everyone knows about me is that I grew up in an entrepreneurial family as well. So my mom started her own business when she was in her early 20s before she had me. And she has grown that business, which was just out of her basement as freelance work at that time, to a 200-person creative agency based in D.C. So my parents run it together, and it definitely made for a different sort of childhood, but I think it definitely got me to where I am today for sure.
Totally. No, yeah. I have a similar experience. My mom and dad both were entrepreneurs, so I feel like that's why I never thought I could do anything else. Like, there was no other path. That's so fun. So tell us where you went to school.
Yeah. I went to Washington University in St. Louis, and it was the best 4 years ever, even though you hear that all the time. It really, really was. And I get so excited talking about my college experience and where I went to school with Dormify customers too that are also going to WashU. It's an amazing place and it's a really special school. I am definitely very connected to it and I'm happy to answer more questions that you have specifically.
So how did you choose WashU?
Well, that was quite an interesting part of my life because I didn't really like do research for where I wanted to go to college in the same way that students do now. I feel like if I were to start over, I would have approached it in a totally different way. Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I really wanted to go to UPenn. That's all I cared about. I was like UPenn or nothing.
Uh-huh.
And I applied early there and got waitlisted or deferred. And it crushed my soul. It was the worst thing ever. And of course, so many students go through that, but for me, that was the first time that I really experienced not winning something. Like, I am such a type A person. So for me to not get in, it was like, what do I do now? So huge learning experience. I had to basically start over. So after I applied early, I ended up starting over with the search. And I applied to all different schools. And I didn't even apply to places that, looking back on it now, I really would have been happy at, but just a wide variety. A family friend of mine went to WashU and I had never heard of it before, but she loved it. So I went to go visit the school and it was like a 3-campus tour that I was going on to visit schools. And as soon as I walked on to campus at WashU, I canceled the rest of my flights.
Oh my God.
And it was, I don't know if it was just like the feeling that I got when you go there, even though people say that, like it's a real thing. But it just ended up being the best combination of academics for me and a social scene. I felt like the student body there was so similar to me. They really cared about their education and their future and career. And of course, every college student does. But for whatever reason, I loved that it was such a melting pot of places all over the country and just a very unique place. So that's how I landed there. Looking back on it, I don't think I should have gotten in there. Like, everyone felt smarter than me. But I applied to the art school, and I think that got me in, honestly. But, yeah.
Oh, gotcha. So then what was your major in college, and how did you decide on it?
Yeah, so I was a double major in communication design, which is graphic design and marketing. So I was in the art school and the business school. And that was something that I wanted to do regardless of what school I went to. My mom was a graphic designer and creative director. So I always just figured I would follow in her footsteps and take over her business. And I always just wanted to be in design in some way. So that combination was really important to me. And even if it wasn't so easy to do, I was going to make it work wherever I went. So I never really had that struggle of figuring out what I wanted to do, and WashU made it really easy. They allowed students to double, triple major in any sort of way that they wanted to. It's actually extremely unique to be able to work like cross-functionally across majors in the way that you can there. So that was a great perk about the school
that's
for
awesome.
Me.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah. Then from there, how did being at WashU like lead to Dormify?
Yeah. It actually happened before WashU. So
oh, wow.
Okay.
The summer before, I was a camp counselor, and I had one day to shop for my dorm room. And my dorm room was really important to me. I really loved fashion and design, and the place that I was living in had to be representative of me. So I actually met my mom here in New York for one day to shop and get everything that we needed. And I'm the oldest in my family, so I had never done this before. My mom had never done this before. And we went to Bed Bath & Beyond. We went to Urban Outfitters. We went to Bloomingdale's and Macy's and every single place that you can buy bedding. And it was extremely, extremely hard. Not only were we shopping in store, running from one place to another to find one thing in this place and that thing in another, everything that was in the twin XL required size for college was just extremely juvenile. It wasn't made for college mm-hmm. students. And if it was nice, it wasn't the right size or the right price point. Like
gotcha.
None of the stars aligned. And we immediately saw this hole in the market for a one-stop shop for dorm decor.
Mm-hmm.
There was no store that was really creating products that were dedicated to college students. And there's 4 million students that enter college every single year.
Yeah.
So this seemed like a huge opportunity. In that moment, we actually – it's so silly thinking about it now, but I found a pillowcase at Urban Outfitters that I loved. And the Urban Outfitters home section in 2009 is nowhere near what it is now. They have come a long
yeah.
way. But at the time, they had like 5 pillows upstairs in the third random floor of Urban Outfitters.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked one pillowcase that was like – really cute typography, in my opinion. I don't think anyone else would have liked it in the way that I did. But I took that pillowcase, and that was like my inspiration for the entire room. I went to all these other stores to try to fill out the room, and it ended up being such a mix and match thing that happened in my room. And my roommate didn't care what her room looked like, so I just said, I'm taking over, I'll do the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
And we put together a really great look. And the look was not hard for us to put together, but for anyone else that was trying to do the same thing, it was nearly impossible. And we're like, it should not be this hard.
Yep.
So we took that. We moved in. It looked great. People on my floor were like, who are you? Your room looks like a hotel room. I don't understand. But it wasn't like a high price point. We
yeah.
ended up finding really cool things like a decal of a chandelier that you can put on the wall. So it looks like a chandelier in your wall, but it's just a sticker. Things like that, being creative. So we had this idea freshman year. I lived my freshman year life, which I can get more into. And after letting this idea really marinate, we said, we can't let this go to the wayside. Like, we need to do something about this. And keep in mind, my mom was running a business
right.
full time,
yep.
more than full time. And I was starting school at a extremely challenging university, and I was double majoring.
Yep.
So that all happened. So by my sophomore year, we were like, let's do something. And we started a branding exercise, which is from the beginning, what has been most important to us is the integrity of the brand, the look and feel, how we were going to build this brand, because anyone could really create a dorm decor destination, but it was really the brand that was going to set us apart. So we first just did a search for domain names and found anything that sounded good that was available and bought all the domain names.
Okay.
And we just like tried to get as much as we could
yeah.
to start, and then we narrowed it down from there, and Dormify just kind of came to us, and it was available on
yeah.
for the domain
yeah.
name on GoDaddy or whatever it was. So we're like, oh, that sounds good. And then we basically did like an image development process, which my mom's company does every
mm-hmm.
single day. So we took this name that we narrowed down to. We figured out what the logo was going to be and the look and feel and the color palette and all of these different things. And that was the beginning. In a nutshell, and if you have specific questions about it, I can answer. We took this idea for Dormify and we created a blog. So the blog was really a way to get people talking about dorm decor and college life in 2010 when fashion blogging was just beginning. And like the very first fashion bloggers you can think of were just getting
yeah.
started. So the idea of a college-focused blog was definitely not happening. And the people that wrote for the blog were actually friends of mine that I just handpicked from – home or from camp or from my new college friends and said, hey, do you want to write some articles for this blog we're putting up? And we quickly created this community, and we called them style advisors. And they were a very early form of brand ambassadors, which, again, at the time, no one was doing.
Right.
So kudos to us.
Better.
So quickly, that community grew to people that we didn't even know.
Yep.
What started as a circle of 10 friends then organically grew, and they were writing for this blog, and that blog ended up serving as proof of concept that people cared about dorm decor, and we could actually go out and raise money and figure out how we were going to create products for dorm rooms.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's so cool. That's
that was all going on when I was in school. Yeah.
There's like so many parallels between like you and Anna. The Undeniable Life is like a very similar thing because like Anna started, I mean, Anna can tell you, and like,
in high school, yeah.
It was just, like, a couple friends, and then,
and then it just
like,
grew. Yeah, it just grows, like, wildfire at a certain
yeah.
point.
Yeah, if you
like,
have something good going,
yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's
I mean,
so cool.
It's awesome that you started in high school, too, because you're younger than me, but when I was in high school, no one was doing anything. I mean, there was no social media, and...
Yeah.
You couldn't do anything so easily. So
no, yeah.
There's so many tools now.
Looking back, obviously, I would have done it all differently, too, because I kept it a secret from everyone who I really, like, all my best friends knew, but, like, I never talked about it. I remember one day to the point where it was just getting so overwhelming, and I was just getting ready for school in the morning, and I was like, oh, Mom, by the way, I started an online magazine. And she was like, what? And she was like, okay. And I was like, no, like, can I show it to you? And she was like, okay. And I showed, she was like, you know, what have you been, like, when have you had the time to do this?
Right.
And it was just so funny. And at the time, like, my dad was in the publishing, magazine publishing industry, and everything was moving to digital. And she was like, I remember him being so offended that I didn't come to him for advice, because then, of course, all the advice he gave me once I told him about it was so good. And I was just like, I feel like I totally missed the mark, because if I would have just done this earlier. And then, of course, once everybody started finding out and I started posting about it, then everyone was like, wow, this is so cool. I'm like, why did I keep this, you know? But I guess when you live in, like, a little suburb, you know, it's like a bubble. And I just felt so much pressure. I was like, I just need something to, like, myself, you know?
Yeah.
But it's crazy how things like that, they just start. And then, like, I tell a story all the time. My best friend in the entire world, she lives in Beaumont, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And she started off as a writer for my online magazine. And I didn't even know who she was. And now we're, like, inseparable. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
so
crazy.
It's really cool.
Power of vlogs. Totally. So then from there, like, from the blog, when did you, like, start the, like, really gearing it up to be, like, business process?
Yeah. It was, we say that we were in beta for my whole 4 years of college.
Gotcha.
Because no one was really spending 100% of their time on Dormify.
Right.
So as soon as I graduated, that's when we really hit the ground running. But my senior year, I had Dormify bedding in my apartment, which was
really cool. That's awesome.
During my junior and senior years was when we really got going. So in 2011, we incorporated the business, and in 2012, we started raising money from friends and family to be able to produce inventory
right.
overseas. We did it in a way that we had to in order to actually produce products at a certain minimum of
yeah.
fabric yardage. So when you're producing things overseas, we were working with a factory in China and basically had to hit a fabric minimum, but we had
yeah.
no audience. We
right.
didn't
right.
have, like, forecasts of how to predict how many sales right. we were going to make, but we had to produce a certain amount of yards. So we had, I would say, like, 6 to 8 patterns that we had created, and they were all very, like, graphic patterns. In order to meet those minimums, we basically turned those patterns into anything we could. So something that should have really only been sheets, we made into duvet covers and shower curtains and window panels and bed skirts
uh-huh.
and,
gotcha.
Like, shams and every single thing that we could take this cotton and turn it
into yeah.
tapestries, anything. So that's what we had to do in the early days, and that really left us with a lot of extra inventory from
yeah.
that first round, but we had to in order to get something
yeah.
out there. And when we first started, we knew that bedding was the thing that didn't exist in the market already, so that's what we set out to create. I'm kind of going backwards a little bit, but the very, very first product that we made in order to start like getting people on our website and all of that was on-demand posters. So there was no cost up front to hold the inventory because everything was printed on demand. And we had letters of the alphabet. So all 26 letters were designed in like a creative graphic way. And you could get your initials or your name and they were carried in all different colors.
That's really cute.
That was our first product line as we were figuring out how to produce linens overseas because we had no,
no
experience
idea.
With that. But to get back to your original question of when we actually started, when we developed the brand and said, okay, we're actually going to do something with this, we needed people to help us, obviously.
Right.
So my mom was running her company, and we ended up picking two women from her agency that we felt would be great team members to start Dormify. So they one had actually left her company, and she grew up in my hometown and went to the same high school as me. And we just were never friends, but she's older than me.
Yeah.
Her name is Stephanie.
She
is one of my co-founders now, part of our founding team. And we said to her and one other girl, we have this idea and we want you to help us bring it to life. So that's how we really got started. They were spending like 50% of their time working on clients at the agency and then the other 50% working on Dormify. And I was at school really being the voice of the customer, the vision of the brand, and all of that. So we spent like, let's call it 2 to 3, 2 years really learning, figuring out what we wanted this brand to be and taking our time instead of hitting the ground running really quickly. And I think that's totally – I'm glad that we approached it in that way. So we put together a website. We figured out how to create product overseas, and we used this army of college students that we had built for the blog to be our eyes and ears on the ground to actually market this brand. And we had no money to put towards marketing in the beginning, so they were really – the ones that helped spread the word.
That's awesome. Okay, so that was going to be my next question.
Yeah.
How you like really got your audience initially.
So social media was just starting. We made an Instagram and Facebook and all of that. But it's really because of these brand ambassadors that we were able to spread the word so quickly because we were college students writing for other college students and creating products for college students. So it was all very, like, peer-driven advice and feedback that we were getting to produce the product. So, I don't know. There was no one else really in that space that was not, like, in the linen business for 20 years. We were, like, kids that were trying to make products for other kids. And that was definitely a huge differentiator. But this ambassador program continued to grow, and they were a marketing arm. And there was other various things that we did in the beginning, too, that were very grassroots, but that was the very beginning.
Gotcha. So then how did you start, like, actually raising the money? Because I saw in your, like, interview with Forbes how you were able to, like, raise so much money by, like, 2013. Which
So, like I said, we raised money from friends and family, and that's where this added benefit of starting this with my mom really was because she had such a network professionally and personally, and we really, like – anyone from my aunts and uncles, grandparents, neighbors, like that's who we were asking to help us fund the business in the very beginning. So we actually had a ton of investors to fill our first round, which isn't great now, but we're so thankful that we had all of those people help us in the very beginning because we wouldn't have been able to produce products otherwise. And we raised two rounds of funding via friends and family, and it wasn't until 5 years later in the fall of 2018 that we raised money from anyone outside of our friends and family.
That's so incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that we weren't ever at a stage at that early time to approach a VC firm or anything like that. Or even we could have approached angel investors, but we didn't need to. Like we were able to secure money from friends that believed in my mom as a business person, knowing her success in her agency and the idea as a whole. And something that I think is really awesome is that a lot of the friends who were part of our early funding, they had kids who were in college or who were almost going to be in college.
So
they totally understood the need, and it's a lot easier to really pitch that idea and story to someone who really gets it.
Totally. Yeah.
So.
No, that's awesome. So how did it feel to make the thing?
I remember the day very vividly, and it was definitely something that I was very hopeful that I would receive, because that just was such a mark of success to me. And the day that I found out, I was like, are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't think I deserve that. But
no.
Thank you to the whole Forbes community. And like, it was such a amazing feeling, not only for me personally, but for the team as a whole, because it just put a sense of legitimacy on the business as a whole. And it really opened up access to vendors and partners and anyone who saw us on that list. Like, it took us out of this bubble that was our home decor world or our college world, and really opened Dormify up to so many other industries. So I just remember after that, it was really like this seal of approval.
Mm-hmm.
Not only were people learning about the brand, it was great brand awareness, because so many people know of that list since it covers so many different industries.
Yeah.
And once they see who is honored every year, they will go out and try to learn more about these companies. So not only from a partnership perspective, but for customers, they're like, wow.
Yeah.
This is something that, one, sets us apart from other players in the space that don't have, like, a young team.
Right.
Yeah. But it was such a rewarding, humbling experience.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
and really great for my network, too. Like, they put on a lot of events, and it was a really great way to meet other founders that may struggle with some of the same day-to-day things that I do. And that's, like, one of the best things that I feel like I have in my position, is so many peers and friends that I can count on to discuss various challenges and things like that.
No, that's the best.
Yeah.
So how has your role changed in Dormify over time?
It's changed a lot. I've never really stayed far away from the creative and the design aspect of the business, whether it's through product design or how our brand appears across all the touch points that we communicate through. But in the very beginning, I was writing blog posts and I was designing emails, and now I don't even see emails until they hit my inbox.
Right.
So it's just, I'm still in the same world, but I have such a more elevated, like, leadership role in the company now, because in the beginning everyone was doing everything, and as we've grown, of course, we have to structure the business more. We're really at a point now where we operate like a real startup, I like to say. Like, we're still a startup, but we're like a real startup. And we're like 17 people full-time, plus a few contractors, and then we have staff that work in our stores. And I still care about every small thing, which is sometimes to a fault.
Yeah.
But I am not the one that's in Photoshop, like, editing every single product image and doing all that. So I've started to fill the team with roles and people that I need to step away from as an individual, so that I can really sit on top of all aspects of the business. For example, in the beginning, I didn't handle any of the operations or logistics, and now I'm very much, like, involved because I need to just know what's going on in everything.
Yeah.
But I still do all of the, like, very small word-of-mouth type of things, because it's important to me that people know that I'm close to everything, and, like, every customer matters, and I really enjoy making relationships with our customers. That's, like, one of the most important things. So I'll still take phone calls with people to, like, get feedback, hear what they want more of, or just, like, learn about any roadblocks that someone had while shopping. It's not – I want to be there. So it's changed in the way that I'm not doing all of the small, like, task-oriented things, but I'm still very close to the customer.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So would you say, like, Forbes 30 Under 30 was probably your, like, the biggest career moment so far, or is there anything else that surpassed it?
It was a big one, but I think even more defining for me was a couple of things. One of the coolest things I ever did was we actually built a dorm room in the middle of Times Square on Good Morning America.
Oh my God, that's so
a couple
cool.
of years ago.
That's
so Good Morning
cool.
America called us and they were like, we have a PR firm.
Yeah.
But Good Morning America called Dormify's like mainline and they're like, we want to do a back to school segment. And
that's
we're just
so
like
cool.
dying, like melting
yes.
in our chairs. And that was a huge deal to us. They ended up wanting to do like a very big feature. They filmed B-roll in our office and
we
ended up literally building a dorm room in the middle of Times Square. And I, for whatever reason, like don't get that nervous or scared going on camera. I started doing it when we were in school or when I was in college and got media trained when I was like 20 years old. I didn't even know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just really exciting. But this segment, I had 5 minutes to convey everything I needed to convey. And when you're on camera on national television for
uh-huh.
5 minutes, like it's 30 seconds. So that was like the most nervous I've ever been. But I had to memorize my lines, which I
yeah.
never do because I needed to like make sure it was so clear and succinct.
Yeah.
But it was really, really cool.
That's
we had
so
a huge
fun.
Spike in traffic that day, and every order that was placed that day really only bought things that were featured on the show, which
oh, wow.
when we have
yeah,
such a wide assortment,
cool.
it's really cool. Like, you can actually see the impact.
Yeah, totally.
So that was a huge one. And then also American Eagle Outfitters invested in
that.
Us
yeah.
last
oh, yeah.
That's year.
Awesome. That's
so that
cool.
was just, like, such a moment of validation when they even wanted to take the meeting with us to
yeah.
talk about it. We had worked with them for 3 years, I think, on a product
right.
relationship. So
sure.
they were buying wholesale from us to really populate their home section on their site. And when we started talking about more strategic conversations and that they were interested in us as a brand, that was just such great
that's
validation
cool.
that we were
yeah.
doing something right,
yeah.
that someone, a public company that's worth
$1 billion, yeah.
like more, I think they just said like a couple $1 billion that was interested in us. We are just so honored and humbled and it's insane. So when that funding actually closed, it was huge.
That's
awesome. Crazy.
No, that's so cool. So how do you maintain momentum? Like, do you ever feel like you're getting burnt out? Do you ever like, what kind of obstacles have you faced?
Yeah. Me personally, it's hard to make me feel burnt out. Like, I'm just...
Go, go, go.
Yeah. In all aspects of my life, socially, I never stop. Like, I'm never the type of person that's like, I need to just stay home and, you know, do laundry tonight. Like,
oh,
that just doesn't happen for me. So when I do feel burnt out, though, I think it's just really important to focus on the highs. And it's really easy for our team to really dwell on the lows. So when there's something that happens that's a roadblock or a challenge, we try to not make that low so low. We need to really focus on the good things that are happening and put things into perspective, because every little fire that we have to put out is really just like a small fire
yeah.
amongst a really beautiful
yeah, absolutely.
Business that we're running and really great success that we should be proud in. So I think just being that motivator and inspiration to the rest of the team to put that into perspective is very important to make sure that we're all keeping the momentum and moving forward. Personally, in order to do that, like it's hard for me, to be completely honest. I get very brought down and stressed out by some little thing that goes wrong,
mm-hmm.
but I think just stepping away for a second just needs to happen so
yeah.
that I can turn my mood upside down
yeah.
and then like move on to the next day.
Totally. No, that makes
yeah.
sense. So what's your favorite thing to do when you're like, okay, I need to take a break. I need to step back. Like, what's something, like, what do you do just like for yourself to keep yourself going and in that good place?
I like to travel a lot. And like I said, I never stop. So my boyfriend and I go away a lot or just like do fun things in the city.
Yeah.
We will go out for dinner or just go to a cool bar, and he really helps to take me away.
That's
because
good.
he'll just,
you need that,
like, slam my hand down if I am looking at an email when I'm trying to disconnect. And I never fully disconnect, but, like, he's very good at balancing his work and his work-life balance. So I definitely rely on him to help keep me centered and sane.
Yeah.
And it's really nice that I have someone
I
in my life
say,
like
yeah,
that.
It's nice to have somebody on the outside who can help you kind of disconnect, but is still so supportive of everything that you have going on.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Because it could be the opposite where the support
yeah.
isn't there and
yeah.
he didn't get it, but he definitely gets it and he is so supportive and helpful
that's
in that
amazing.
Sense. So
no, that's really important.
Grateful for that.
So, all right. So we have some fun questions.
Oh, yeah.
Some
yeah.
other unrelated business questions, just like fun ones.
Fun ones.
So what are your fave places in the city?
Just anything?
Just
yeah,
anything. Keeping it open.
You know that's like the hardest
no, yeah.
question.
No,
we
know
too. That's why I'm
asked.
Always looking for new things.
One of my favorite restaurants is this place called Shiksa in Brooklyn.
Okay.
In Williamsburg. It's spelled XIXA and it's like the most amazing Mexican Asian fusion
Ooh.
Type of place with amazing drinks, only tequila and mezcal. Love it there.
Yeah, it tastes like that in Montreal. That's so funny.
It's amazing. I love it there. I mean, as obnoxious as it is, I love Cha Cha Matcha because
oh,
it's just so
I
fun.
I have a story from Cha Cha Matcha.
We were there a couple weeks ago and we got that, you know, they have like the soft serve.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was like 95 degrees. I want to just set the scene with that to make it not sound as bad.
Yeah. We ordered some soft serve and we were going on our happy way and Stephanie was wearing these adorable white pants.
Yep.
And she spilled
the soft green
ice cream
all
everywhere.
Over her.
Oh, no.
It was a moment. It was.
I've actually never had their matcha ice cream.
Oh, it's
really
good.
Yeah.
It just went everywhere.
I don't think, like, it's not sweet. It's not, like, it's just, like, so nice. And it's,
yeah.
like, water-based. So it's, like, almost like a matcha sorbet, if that
yeah.
makes sense.
Yeah.
I know. It's really good. And we just, like, kind of went into panic mode. And so we went to Duane Reade, got
her
just, like,
tie
snapped
pen.
Into mom mode and, like, we got her Tide pen and literally
was it a success?
Yo, it was such a success.
Okay,
my pants were green. Like, these were white pants.
They were
bright. Took it all out. And now I'm a slave to the Tide pen.
I literally
yeah.
ordered like 20 Tide pens.
I literally ordered a pack of 10.
I think I have one in my bag. I have like an emergency kit of
yes.
all things
oh,
that
yeah.
I might need.
They are incredible. So
that's my
that's
favorite
our,
thing.
That was the last time we were at Tasha. But I do like Tasha Matcha.
Yeah.
That's
I love
so
it
funny.
Too.
Good. That's so funny.
I wish they turned the music down, but I love it there. Like, I could never sit there
yeah.
and work, but
it's
to just, like, take a break from the day,
it's
nice.
Fun. Totally.
Yeah.
Very Instagrammable, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got the cute pictures before the
spin
occurred.
Yeah. So, if you wrote an autobiography, what would it be called?
So, when I saw that question, I was like, wow, really great question, but this is really hard. So I actually did think about it because I was at the beach this weekend and I was with my parents and my boyfriend, Ryan, and we were just like brainstorming and everything we thought of was so dumb. But then I think I actually landed on something good and I'm not writing any sort of book yet, but maybe one day.
I can't wait to read it someday.
So we came up with On My Way.
Oh, that's cute.
Because I am a perpetually late person.
Me too.
So, I mean, I was 5 minutes late today as much as I tried. Like, I scheduled an Uber to
I
get
always,
here on time.
I do the same thing.
We have a poster on Dormify that says, just tell me where and when to be and I'll be 20 minutes late. And that's
yep.
inspired by me.
Perfect.
But I think it's really just because I try to do so many things and I like to say yes to everyone that I can. So
yeah.
it's not because I'm not late due to disrespect to
yeah,
whoever
of course.
I'm meeting
yeah,
or whatever
busy.
I'm doing. I just like am also finishing up the last thing that I was doing and whether it's a meeting
yeah.
or whatever it is, I just am always running late. But to spin it more positively, like – I'm on my way.
You're
I'm
on
not
your way.
Late.
Yeah. I love that.
And I'm on my way to something big
totally.
With Dormify too, you know? Like, there's such an opportunity. Like I said, there's 20 million college students
yeah.
in the country and 4 million people that are entering college for the first time every year.
Yeah.
And we only have about
–
yeah, and we only have about 2% of the market right
Crazy.
Now, which – is very small, which just speaks to the opportunity, and
totally.
The opportunity is huge. So we're on our way to getting that market share and, you know, just doing everything we can to really empower students to create an amazing space and transition from home to college in the best and easiest way possible.
I love that. And your story kind of reminds me too, Stephanie and I were recently listening to a podcast with one of the co-founders of Away, the suitcases.
Yeah.
And
how
they
I built this, the agenda.
Yeah. And how they didn't have enough, like they didn't, their products weren't going to be ready on time for the pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to like come up with something. So they made like
a book. Coffee table books.
Yeah, they sold a coffee table book.
It's really incredible what they did with that.
Yeah.
Like I can't believe that it worked.
It worked.
It
yeah.
totally worked. And they're branding geniuses and
totally.
Like, I really am inspired by their story and how they've continued to create this brand that people just want to be a part of, and that's very much the same with Dormify.
And I was saying, just so you know, like, I put you on the same level as that. Like, your story
is
just
That is, like, the biggest moment of my career.
That's so nice.
No,
seriously, though. Like everything you're saying just, like, reminded me so much of that. Like, it's crazy how you just built such an amazing brand already. And like I said, you're on your way. You're just, I feel like you're never going to reach a final destination either because you're so hungry. You're just going to keep going and going.
Yeah. And it is really funny to think about and scary to think about what my future looks like. And I'm 28 and there's so many more things that I could do, but
totally.
It's crazy to think like when, like what's mm-hmm. after Dormify if there
yeah.
is an after
yeah.
Dormify. And I don't know.
I feel like you're going to have
having so
it.
Much uncertainty is kind of cool, but also
a little
intimidating. Yeah.
But cool.
That's yeah.
so fun. so then what's your favorite Dormify item if you can only nail it down to one or two?
That's easy. Well, I have two.
Okay.
One is our Ajax throw blanket because it is the softest thing ever.
I love soft.
And it's one of our best-selling blankets. And I love it because it's not something that only college students can buy. I think
right,
it's a great
right.
gift for a housewarming gift or even like a new baby. Like it's just such a great gift for anyone in the world. So I like that Dormify can really touch anyone that may not be going to college. So check out that. It's a great blanket. And then my second one, which is definitely for any small space dweller, is our collapsible ottomans that we make in a single and a double version. It is like the most genius thing, and we will continue to innovate on that product. But that's like, to me, so representative of what Dormify is. It's innovative, it's stylish, and it just makes sense.
And useful, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a triple threat, really. It's an ottoman that has a seat back that flips up so it can become a chair or a bench. And then inside there is a insert for storing shoes.
Oh my God.
And it's Velcroed, so you can take it in and out if you want to use it for something else.
That's so cool.
And it collapses flat for when you're moving.
That's amazing.
My college packing list right now is 6 pages long. I gotta add it. I gotta add that. I do. It keeps growing.
I can help
every
you out.
Day.
You have to come visit
yeah.
our showroom.
I actually went last weekend. I met a roommate for the very first time, and I actually went.
Oh,
yeah.
Last weekend?
July 6th.
That was
two weekends ago.
Okay.
Something like that. But
did
yeah,
you like it?
Yeah, it was really cute. It was so fun. I liked all the little setups. It was so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got all our ideas. We like took a picture of the packing list that's on the wall.
Yeah, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so any roommates or students going off to school can come into our pop-up shop in New York.
That's so fun.
And work with stylists and just design your room and get everything done.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, that's so cool. So then a good final question. So what do you want the future of Dormify to look like?
So this is something that we've said for many years and we are just sticking by it, but we really want to be the first thing that any high school senior thinks of when they get their first college acceptance letter. So, you know, you do all this work to send out your applications, and whether you're doing an early decision or rolling admissions or whatever it is, you're going to get that first letter, even if it's not where you're going to school. And we want the next logical step to be, oh my God, what's my dorm room going to look like? And Dormify is the destination that you come to, because, you know, we're not only a place to buy products, but we're also a real tool and, source of content and guidance in this space. And that's what I think sets us apart. We're really like your big sister. So you're going to be a freshman and we want to feel like we are guiding you through this whole process and transition as if we're your big sister. If anyone doesn't have a role model like that in their life, like Dormify should be that to them.
We just want to say thank you so much to Amanda for coming onto the podcast and also giving all of our listeners a 20% off discount code. Use code UndeniableLife20 at checkout on Dormify.com.